Weekly. We're doing our special Super Bowl preview and Laker Talk podcast today here on January 31st. And right now we have Sun Penn on the line. Sun, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great. And you pretty excited for this year's Super Bowl?
I am. One of my, not one of my, but my favorite team is in the Super Bowl, actually. I'm usually excited every year. I like to see who wins. But especially this year, the 49ers are in it, and hopefully they can pull it out against the Ravens, who seem like they have a lot of momentum going their way.
Yeah, they do have a lot of momentum going their way. And what are some of the top storylines going into Super Sunday?
Oh, I think the top storyline is Ray Lewis and the allegations of using deer antler spray to help him recover from his torn triceps. There's news of whether he used it, and he flat out denied it. So a lot of people are wondering whether he used a PED, which is on the banned substance list for the NFL, deer antler spray of all things. So I think that's one of the big lines, but I don't think it seems like a distraction. Maybe on the outside, not on the inside, I don't think.
Yeah, I do think Ray Lewis is the story of this year's Super Bowl. Such a controversial player, a polarizing player, starting off with his early beginnings of winning the Super Bowl before in 2000 and in subsequent murder trial. And just basically the fact that he's just such a in your face type player, and he has that squirrel dance. So a lot of people have opinions about Ray Lewis, and I think this is a part of his legacy. Just this controversy, and he probably did take PEDs just because anytime a man tears his biceps and comes back 3 months later. You always have to question something like that, especially at the high level he's playing at right now. It can't be all emotion. I'm glad he's going to be playing in the game to make it more exciting. We'll see what happens with Ray Lewis and how he ends his legacy as a player. Any other big stories coming into Sunday's game?
The one story right now that's going on is how Chris Culver has made some anti-gay remarks, whether he said he was trapped into making remarks like that, whether or not that's true. He did, and he apologized earlier today. That does seem like it might be a distraction for the 49ers. Hopefully, Jim Harbaugh has already talked to him. By talked, I mean probably yelled at him for 30 minutes in a row straight about creating such a distraction. Other than that, I can't think of anything else other than a lot of people talking about Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith and how their relationship is. But as far as like media goes for Super Bowl, the 2 weeks, it's a long 2 weeks, and there are a lot of stories that aren't really stories that get tossed around. I try not to pay attention to those. That's basically it as far as I can tell.
Not very much newsworthy stories coming out of this year's Super Bowl for storyline-wise. I guess the big focus is on the game, and I guess people are really scrapping if one of the biggest stories behind Ray Lewis is the 49ers nickel cornerback talking to Artie Lang about gay players. So it's pretty rough. Rough for good stories right now.
Oh, there is the Harbaugh thing, the two Harbaughs.
That is a really interesting story, but there really hasn't been very much news about it.
Yeah, there really isn't much to say other than that they're brothers.
Yeah, it's not like they had like this, this falling out. They never talked to each other, and then they went separate ways. Nothing like the movie Warrior, to make this type of brother story very interesting.
You don't think there'll be a brawl at the parking lot or a confrontation?
No, I don't think their dad was a drunk either. Just forced him to fight a bare knuckle fist fight in a cage.
One of the Harbaughs didn't desert the military and rip the door off a tank.
if any of my Harbaughs, I think Jim Harbaugh is the one who could have ripped the tank door off. Nothing like that.
John Harbaugh, not a substitute teacher or whatever. He was a full time teacher if he gets fired or something. Because suspended.
maybe summer school. Teaches summer school. So I guess let's talk about the game a little bit. If I remember correctly, you're picking the Ravens. Are you still sticking with that pick?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens will win it, but I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be less than 3 points. I think that, I mean, there's still a good chance for the 49ers winning. I'd say it's about 50-50, so, but if I had to, maybe Ravens 51%. So that's what I want to go with the Ravens.
How are they going
to
win?
The same way they won those other games in the playoffs. Big plays down the field. The 49ers... in the Falcons game, so that they're susceptible to the big plays in the air. They've got Torrey Smith, who is probably faster than anybody on the 49ers defense. Same Anquan Boldin, who plays the slot pretty well, and he's a pretty physical cornerback or wide receiver. So I think that's what they're going to do on offense. And on defense, I think they can. It's 2 weeks to prepare for the read option and other things that the 49ers might do on offense. And I do think it'll come down to turnovers, as a lot of games do. And I think the Ravens are probably better at forcing them. And that's why I think if the Ravens are going to win.
Just sounds like a dominant Ravens win for you. For me, I flip-flopped it. Earlier I picked the Niners, but now after thinking about it, I'm picking the Ravens as well, just because even though it doesn't look like they have as much talent as the 49ers on paper, they're right now, they have the most momentum out of both teams. Their defense is playing extremely well. Joe Flacco has emerged as a big-time player with big wins against Peyton Manning and a big win against the Patriots. So you could definitely get the ball down the field against Niners defense that has trouble stopping big play, at least recently. And I think what the Ravens have that people don't really remember is that they have Ray Rice, considered one of the top five running backs, maybe top three running backs in the whole league. And, you know, I'm expecting a big game from Ray Rice to move the chains and then catch pass out of the backfield for a big game. And I think that's something the Niners are going to let happen. And then you look at the Niners side of football, Colin Kaepernick will be making his 10th start, is it? And for a player that young in a big game, big bright lights. He's played well so far, but right now, it just looks like there's a lot to handle, and he hasn't faced a defense as aggressive and talented as the Ravens. So it's going to be a struggle, I think, for the Niners. And I think, you're going to see the experience of the Ravens, overwhelm the 49ers on Sunday. And, believe it or not, this is John Harbaugh's going to be 14th playoff game in, I think, 4 years. Maybe 4 or 5 years, so. And the Flacco's played in that many games as well. So they're really experienced in the playoffs, so it's going to be tough for the Niners to win it, but hoping for a great game. I'm ripped for the Niners, and I just hope the game's not over by the time it's halftime.
Another thing that the Ravens might do is hypnotize Bernard Pollard into thinking all the 49ers are actually Patriots or Tom Brady.
If that's the case, this game will be over after the first quarter, after first death on the field. That'd be the worst thing to see. But I don't think you have a season next year. There's somebody who dies on the field during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
With all this football is over in 30 years talk. I really hope nothing like that happens.
I know. Nothing like that ever happens.
Yeah, it'd be terrible. I have a feeling, you know, these Ravens just want blood. They use too much deer extract in their body.
Seeping through their pores, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. These guys are animals. But, yeah, it's a great game. Any big plans for Super Bowl Sunday?
No, just going to watch the game at home and have a few snacks. That's about it.
All right, what's your final score for Sunday's game?
30-28.
Now, do you feel a little bad rooting, picking against your Niners?
Oh, it doesn't matter what I pick, but I still want the 49ers to win.
Oh, it shouldn't matter. You know, it's bad karma to pick against your team in a big game.
I'm rooting for the 49ers to win, but I don't think they'll win. I think that's the difference.
No, you just don't want to be disappointed. You'll be sorely disappointed.
No, I don't think, no, because I picked them to win the NFC Championship game. And I still thought they had a chance to win when they were down 17-0.
Who would you buy? Which jersey would you buy from the 49ers team?
If I had to buy one today?
Yeah.
I would buy Patrick Willis.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Why?
He's probably my favorite player on the team. Yeah, he's one of my favorite players on the team. He's probably my favorite player on the team. He's a good leader. He's made the Pro Bowl every year. He's been in the league.
Well, here's my final score prediction. I'm picking Ravens 48, Niners 17.
48?
sure, why not?
They're not going to score 48 points.
The Ravens did score 40 points against the Giants, or somewhere around there, I think 45.
Oh, that's a different defense.
So I'm expecting something awfully terrible like that. You know, good for Joe Flacco, you know, and he's going to get a big contract after everyone just talked about how poor he played this year. Now everyone just loves Joe Flacco. So anyways,
I think it's funny that Joe Flacco is, I think, the first quarterback I can remember in a long time who will win the Super Bowl, and the Ravens will still hesitate on giving him a big contract.
You think?
Yeah, they'll think twice about it. Yeah, I think they'll think twice about it.
I don't think so. He
wants $20 million a year.
Oh, does he really want that much? No franchise, I don't think he wants that much.
Yeah, they'll probably franchise, but he said he wants Drew Brees' contract. So
$20 million. That's absurd. No way. It's a way out. I mean, sure, why not? But he's not worth that much. He is not an elite quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. He says he is an elite quarterback, and he wants to be paid like one. And he said Drew Brees' contract is something similar to that is what he's looking for.
Wow, that's insane. That's absurd.
It's a lot of money. I think the Ravens will think twice about it.
I don't think they're going to negotiate that. They'll franchise him, and then he's going to look around the league and then look at his numbers, and they're going to say, "All right, if you want to be paid like an elite quarterback, we'll give you the responsibility of being one." And then see if he could do it.
I wouldn't pay him that much either, but that's what, you know, he's just saying that probably because he thinks he's an elite quarterback. But you don't think he is? You think he's just a tier below?
Oh, yeah, he's a tier below for sure. He does make big plays, but, you know, the offense isn't built around Joe Flacco. You know, it's built for Ray Rice. The idea is to get Ray Rice going and then, you know, play a field position game and have the defense win, try to win games for you. And that's how they've played. You know, sure, defense slipped a little bit and they're, you know, not as dominant as before, but it's still the idea of how the Ravens want to play. They're not going out there, you know, trying to have Joe Flacco throw the ball 60 times a game.
But the reason they won in the playoffs is because of how Joe Flacco has played, especially in the Patriots game. I don't remember Ray Rice doing anything of consequence in that game.
He really didn't. Yeah. Joe Flacco made a few big plays, but I wouldn't say he made the type of plays that normal, you know, elite quarterbacks making constantly. And, you know, if you look at numbers, you know, his numbers just aren't up to same standard. And when you talk about contracts, you know, the owners, the agents, they're always going to look at numbers.
Not playoff performance?
Even in the playoffs, you know, he hasn't had a completion percentage over 60%. I mean, he's had good quarterback ratings, but that's based on the fact that he could get the ball downfield. And he hasn't made any mistakes in playoffs either, which is nice, too.
You're right. No interceptions. I think he fumbled once, though. Maybe.
And we'll see. You know, I'm kind of rooting against Joe Flacco now after he said he wants $20 million. I hope he fails.
Oh, harsh critic.
I'm not happy with that. Not happy. All right. Let's go ahead and switch gears. Yeah, let's go ahead and continue on talking about the disaster season of the Lakers. And there was a little resurgence with Kobe Bryant gaining a new philosophy of pass first. And since he's developed that or taken that responsibility, Lakers have been 3-1, which is not bad, but unfortunately they lost to the Suns last night, which put them at, I think, 0-7 or 0-8 on the road in the month of January. First time the Lakers have ever gone a month winless on the road. So going on. So what do you think? Do you think this Lakers team has a chance to make the playoffs now that Kobe Bryant loves the pass?
I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. We'll see how injured Howard is, how much time he'll miss, and what their record will be on this 7-game road trip. Like you said, they lost to the Suns, to a team that was 15 games under 500 and they blew almost
13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Michael Beasley could not miss, a player that has been before Alvin Gentry got fired was barely in a rotation. So,
right.
They played a really poor game in the final minutes. Howard also was injured during that fourth quarter. So, Pau Gasol played the whole fourth alongside Earl Clark.
Yeah, the Lakers really had an issue trying to guard Beasley. And Beasley's considered one of the most unwilling passers in the league, and that just goes down to coaching. You know, you gotta stop him from going left, and then if he gets to the rim, and if he's hot or on fire, you have to double team him because he's a terrible passer, and they didn't do anything to stop it. They just said, you know, Mike D'Antoni's just like, I don't know. I don't know how to stop Michael Beasley in the huddle. It's just terrible. It's just terrible that, you know, a decent coach can recognize this, but Mike D'Antoni, I don't know if he even has his eyes open on the defensive end of the floor. So it was a pretty disappointing loss.
That was maybe the worst loss of the year for me.
Yeah, and, Elias Sports Bureau statistics, only one team in the league has blown a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter twice. That team is the Lakers this year.
They almost blew an 18-point lead the night before to a Hornets team.
That's right.
They were winning by 18 with 5.5 to go. They almost lost.
Yeah. Lakers just check out. And that and Kobe Bryant, you stop trying to make plays for other people, and then if he isn't in the rhythm in the fourth quarter, which he normally isn't, if he's passing a lot of time, he's not going to make shots. So it's tough to see that. But, it was kind of exciting to see the Lakers win a few games in a row. I was pretty excited. And, Kobe's done this before where he starts passing ball a lot for a week or two, and then he just reverts back to his old self, and we'll see what happens in this scenario.
Yeah, before Howard got hurt, the good thing about Mike D'Antoni was Steve Blake coming back. I was actually excited for that. When I saw him come back in the game, I started clapping. for some reason. But he played he's playing nine guys right now, which is good for D'Antoni. Usually he pays 7.5 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. He gets finally Mike D'Antoni does something right. At least a little bit. But hopefully Lakers learn how to stop Michael Beasley. If Michael Beasley's the biggest problem, it's just so many things that they need to do that they aren't aware. Anyways, other than that, anything else going on with the Lakers?
No, I was thinking about the Lakers and Kobe's off-ball defense. And the way he plays defense is he tries to help on every single play. He just reminds me of a little league player who tries to catch every fly ball. Maybe he's a shortstop, he'll go out to center field or first base. That's what Kobe plays defense like. He sees the ball going to the lane, he'll run to that guy. And then, obviously, the next thing that happens is that a guy kicks it out to the corner where Kobe's man is, or cutting to the hoop, and he scores because he's wide open. That probably happens 10 to 15 times a game.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty funny. It's so weird. Kobe's just so uninterested in playing off-ball defense. But
I think he was playing maybe 10 to 12 feet off P.J. Tucker yesterday.
Wow. What's your prediction for this Grammy trip they're coming on? You think how many wins do you think they're going to get?
I thought they were going to get 5, but now maybe just 4. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 3-4. They've got a few tough games on the trip. They end with the Heat. I think they'll probably lose that game, the Celtics game, and they might lose that game, the Hornets game.
Rondo, though.
That's true, but Rondo isn't the person that kills the Lakers. It's Peterson, the other players. And not the Hornets, but the Bobcats. People laugh, but the Lakers are very susceptible to losing to the Bobcats. They have a history. I think the only team in history, or used to be, where they had a sub-500 record against the franchise.
That's still true.
Is it still true?
The Lakers are still under 500 against the Bobcats.
A lot of people don't realize that, or they don't know that, but the Bobcats always beat the Lakers, just for some reason. So there's a few losses on there, though, too, that are pretty plausible and others even probable. So I think four games. I think that's what's going to happen, four games.
Yeah, I thought they would be right. I thought they'd beat the Suns. Yeah, I thought they'd beat the Suns, too. But, you know, that's what happens when Dwight Howard hurts his shoulder. So, you know, it used to look like a pretty, you know, they had a lot of winnable games on this road trip. But right now, if there's no Dwight, there's no hope for this team. Now, I guess the big question is, do you think the Lakers should trade Dwight before the deadline this year?
No, I don't think. I don't think they should. I think they should try to re-sign him. If not, that's okay. His contract comes off the books, which is what they need. They need cap flexibility. And maybe try to do some shrewd signings in the offseason to help bolster their bench and their front court. So I don't think it's the worst thing for Dwight walks. They get the cap space, and people always want to play in L.A., so it's not like other teams who have cap space and they don't get to use it because nobody wants to play there. The Lakers will they'll be able to use it. So I think they should just stick with him for the rest of the year and hope he signs, and they can run him back next year with a training camp and maybe, hopefully a new coach.
Oh, there's no way. They can't get rid of Mike D'Antoni. They already have a $22 million tied up in two coaches the next 3 years. Yeah, I don't think it doesn't look good. Though, thing about cap space, though, the Lakers' payroll is already at $100 million. If you take $20 million, they still take $20 million over the cap if you take Dwight Howard off the cap. So,
well,
you're looking for the Lakers to reach under the cap. They're going to have to get rid of Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. That's $50 million combined up in two players.
You're right. I meant to say that it'll be better for their like cap as far as luxury tax penalties go. If you,
The
rule is, if you pay the penalty 3 out of 4 years, you get like harsher penalties. You have to pay $2 or $3 million per every million you're over.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, though, I don't care if the Jerry Buss pays more money for these Lakers. You know, if this is what you're going to give us, I hope you lose a little money on this.
Right. It's not my money.
Not my money.
All the one way you're paying for it as far as cable bills and whatever.
The subscription. You know, I have to pay that subscription no matter what if I don't watch the Lakers or not.
All right.
Anyway.
Who do you think they should trade him for if they do trade him?
You know, I heard this deal, Al Horford and Kyle Korver. That'd be nice. Al Horford's a good young player. Coming off an Achilles injury, though, but, you know, he's an all-star and he's a good player. And, you know, he fit really well with Pau Gasol.
Yeah, I think that would be a good trade. What about this trade? I've been thinking about this. Who says no, okay? Dwight Howard for Andre Drummond.
Drummond is so raw.
He had a game this year. This past week, he had it. 18-18 game with only 25 minutes played.
Yeah, Drummond's a talent. Yeah, he's athletic. Good.
His body style. Ability. His body is like Dwight Howard's.
Yeah, he's definitely an athletic player, but he's just so raw right now. I think in order for him to be an elite player, he still has to wait 1 to 2 years. At least, if he ever becomes one. Right now, he's just, a rebounder, role guy.
No, I agree. He's really raw. He's not even as close to being on Dwight Howard's level, but he'll be on his rookie contract, he'll have his restricted free agent rights when that rookie contract goes up. So they could be in control of him for 7 years, which is pretty good. So would you rather have that or Dwight Howard, who may not be his 2010 self in because of his back injury and of his salary and how he's played with the Lakers so far?
Well, you know, if you talk about the negatives about Dwight Howard, yeah, you know, you want anybody. But I don't think that deal would go through just because, you know, Dwight can leave after the season and Drummond has all his potential.
So you're saying the Pistons say no?
Oh, yeah. Why would they want to just take Dwight Howard for a couple weeks or 2 months?
Wow. But they have the chance to re-sign him. He probably won't. They have the chance.
Yeah, he for sure won't. Why would he want to play in Detroit? Nobody wants to live in Detroit.
What if they did a sign and trade? What if they sign and extends or renews his contract?
Oh, so he stays? Yeah, then the Pistons will do that. You don't know what Andre Drummond's going to do. His 19-year-old kid. Who has a limited offensive skill. I mean limited.
He scores 10.
You could score 18 points on 9 dunks. You could score 19 points for just on offensive rebounds.
Yeah, that's true. I think he shot.
His free throw, guess what his free throw percentage is of this year?
At UConn, his free throw percentage was like 36%. I'm guessing. So I'm going to guess it's in the 42%.
All right. In UConn, he shot 29%.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was bad.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, if there's a guy who he could be compared to, it'd be Derek Favors.
Oh, but he's so much bigger. Have you seen him? He's such a big guy. A really big guy.
Yeah, 6'10", 270. It's about Dwight Howard size. And his free throw this year, 38%, which is absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it is. But he's just so big. Like, he's like about Dwight Howard size, but he's just like, he could be like just so much, like, as far as like growing muscles and stuff like that. He's only 19, like you said.
You know, I think, you know who you sound like? You sound like Michael Jordan in the year 2000. Talk about Kwame Brown.
Well, the difference is I've seen Andre Drummond play in the pros.
You know, Kwame Brown once had a 36-18 game. I think in his like second year of his career.
That's pretty good. And Kwame Brown isn't actually a bad defender. Even Kobe Bryant says that. So
he's not a bad defender, but
yeah,
limited player.
I would say he was a minus offensive player.
I would take at least more. Do they have any expiring contract?
So you'd rather have, you think Andre Drummond's more Kwame Brown than Dwight Howard? based on free throw percentage?
I'll be honest, I only seen Andre Drummond play, and then he played the Lakers early in the season, and one thing I noticed is this guy was reckless. He tried to jump over two people, and he landed almost on his neck. I was like, this guy is just too much of an animal.
I think they played a distance on this road trip, right? So we'll get to see Andre Drummond against the Lakers.
All right, well, let's take a look. So he did take 2 3-pointers this year and made one of them. So, yeah, good for him. Maybe he needs to keep taking that shot.
Maybe buzzer beaters.
Yeah. They need to run some more plays for him on the 3-point line. But no, Al Horford's the guy you'd want.
Okay, more Al Horford. You'd rather have Al Horford than Andre Drummond. Okay. I like Drummond.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I bet he would be the second pick of the year if the draft is taken today. Last year's draft was done today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look. You know, Gabe Gilchrist hasn't done very much. Deion Waiters is pretty good, actually. Damian Lillard, probably rookie of the year.
Probably.
Bradley Beal doing very well. Terrence Ross.
Not bad, yeah.
Good player. And Harrison Barnes. Not a bad player.
Not bad, yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if he'd be picked second. I'll tell you who wouldn't be picked 10th, Austin Rivers.
No,
I don't know where he'd be. He's not very good.
Oh, not yet. I still think he might do okay. I still believe in Austin Rivers. I don't think he'll be an all-star, but I think he'll be all right.
But yeah, so we'll see. And son, you got anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug. Except maybe the movie Vertigo.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah, the 1958.
Oh wow. Good. All right, well, good luck to your Niners. Do you have anything, any advice for your 49er team?
Just, you know, take care of the ball, play your game. Don't worry about the other distractions on defense and trash talking. Just be focused on, you know, playing football.
Okay, just it's a nice pep talk. Just play your game, guys.
Also, no distractions. No more distractions leading up to the game.
There's no distractions. I don't think that Culliver thing's a distraction. It's not like any of the other players disagreed with him on the team.
I have not heard anything yet, so.
Nah, they all probably felt the same way. He's going to want to say it. Anyways, all right. That's, you know, it's going to be a fun Super Bowl week. Good luck to both teams. More importantly, good luck to the Niners. And that's our podcast. And I guess we'll see you all later. Thanks for listening.